morning. I pray all of you do. I have been heading to Calvary with John, and seemed like I couldn't get away from this little thought this morning. Jonah chapter number 1. I think I'd like to pray first. I believe that's what I need to do this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. And Lord, you know I certainly do need you. And you know, Father, this will be a disaster and it'll be a failure and a flop if you don't help me. I ask you to just preach me for your glory for a little bit. Have your way. Be exalted and be uplifted and be magnified. Out of all that's said and done, and Father, allow the Holy Spirit free course. Please touch me, Father. Help me to preach with your power. Thy blessed will be done. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, we come to the book of Jonah, and I don't know, I guess there's a lot we could say. When I come to this book, I wrestle around with how to unload it. And Jonah has just so many truths in it. Jonah is a picture of a backslider. You can just see that in the text. It's very plain. But on the other hand, Jonah is a picture of the nation Israel. You can see that the mariners received truth because of the man of God who pictures Israel being the truth bearer to the world at that time. And then you can see Jonah is a picture of Christ. And some of you may think that's a little odd, but I think we'll get there this morning. And I believe you'll agree with me. And so there's many lessons that we can draw from this book. And I don't know, I think maybe I just want to teach to you this morning, just take a verse at a time and go through this particular text. I want to talk to you and just share just a little bit with you about this fellow who struggles, a man of God. We went over to 2 Kings last Sunday night. And we saw that at that time he was delivering a message to his own people of grace and mercy, and even though they were living wickedly, God had blessed them. And so Jonah was being used in a positive sense in that particular passage. But now we come here and something's happened to Jonah. And I want us to kind of put ourselves in Jonah's place for just a little bit. And I want to say this, you may be serving the Lord and doing well, but you're not above getting out of the will of the Lord. You're not above that. And you can be spiritual one minute, and then the next minute you can be sideways on the Lord. And I say one minute, but the fact of the matter is, disobedience is not spontaneous. And by that I mean this, a man never just accidentally has an affair or accidentally backslides on the church and gets out of church. It's a thought process in the mind before it's ever played out with the body. And so we understand that sin, as a rule, is not instantaneous, but it's progressive. And no doubt somewhere in Jonah's life, he began to slip and kept slipping and keep sliding away. And really what happened, God came to him with a command, and that command brought out who Jonah really was. I mean, Jonah spiritually looked good. He probably acted right. He probably still went to church. He was still a man of God. But something was not right down on the inside, and that was not revealed until God said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." But when God spoke to him and gave him a command, then we saw the true nature of his heart. And I don't know, I just started thinking about that for a little while. And my mind, and maybe your mind goes there as well, goes to John 6 where he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." And the Bible goes on to say that many walk with him no more because of the hard sayings. And so here was a group of people that were walking right outwardly, following the right person, going where he was going, but they were not right in their heart, and the preaching of the Word of God, the commands of God, is what revealed where they were. And I want to say this to you, it's the Word of God that will show you where you're at today. That's right. And so here's Jonah, and his spiritual state had changed. We're going to see in a little bit, he repents. But can I tell you, he gets in a mess again. And here's what I want to say to you. We still have a flesh to deal with. Everyone in this room has a flesh to deal with. Paul said this, and we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Romans chapter 7, "For I know that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing." No good thing. There's no good in you today. Let me just stop and say that within you, there's no good in you. The only good you have, the only thing you can brag about, is what Jesus has done for us. That's right. We're all on a level ground. We're all, the old times used to say, the ground is level at the cross. My, that's so today. Within our flesh, within our abilities, within our goodness, we're all on the same level, and there's no goodness in it. You may have a fine title. You may call yourself a man of God. You may call yourself a deacon, a preacher, or whatever you want to call yourself. But within yourself, you take God out of your life, and within yourself, there's no good. No good. And so that's where we pick up with the man of God, a true man of God. Can I say that? A God-called man of God. A man of God, can I say it this way, had a good track record. I mean, when you look at Jonah and you would look in the past, you'd say, "My, he's a good man of God." I mean, God blessed him and God used him. We see that from 2 Kings. But we come to this place and the man of God, he begins to manifest what he is. And so sometimes the hard say, will cause us to reveal who we really are on the inside. Sometimes the actions of others will cause us to reveal what we are. Sometimes fear, sometimes the workload involved. I guess I've got in my mind, why was it Jonah was struggling with what God had told him to do? Well, the Assyrians were the enemies of Israel. My, they were a wicked enemy. If you were to study the way they carried out warfare, they would, if you would just pardon the expression, they would skin alive. They would impale people and put them on poles, and as they marched toward the cities, and their adversaries could see how wicked and mean they were. And my, just goes on and on telling about them. And I wonder maybe if Jonah was fearful of what they might do to him. I don't know. I've wondered about that. And I wondered if maybe Jonah was worried what the brethren would think. I've wondered if Jonah thought he was really smarter than God, and what he was doing by not going would be better for Israel than if he did go. and they were to repent and get right. I just wondered where Jonah was at. They say it was 500 or 600 mile journey. I wondered maybe if he was lazy and just didn't want the workload that was involved. I've wondered a lot about that. But here's the thing you and I need to understand, that when God commands and demands and puts a responsibility upon us, we have an obligation to obey. There's no, the old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, I just want us to think a little bit about Jonah, and I hope to get to his picture as Christ in the text. But we see here that Jonah, he disobeyed. And I've said already, and I want to say it again, I don't think it was immediate disobedience. He immediately disobeyed, but I think inwardly he'd been disobeying from some time. And maybe within our group today, there's some of you in your heart, you've been disobeying. Nobody knows it. Still look the same. Still act the same. Still have the same. But in your heart, there's rebellion against God. Within your heart, you've come to the place that you want to live your life your way. It really doesn't matter what the man of God preaches. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what God expects. You want to live your life your way. If you've not taken action on it, but on the inside, down on the inside, much like the little boy who was standing in the corner and somebody come by and said to him, as I remember the story, you're having to stand in the corner. He said, I am on the inside, but not on the outside. In other words, he wasn't being obedient. He wasn't doing what he's told to do on the inside. I want to say to you today, that's where it starts at today. That's where disobedience begins in our hearts and lives today. It begins on the inside. And that's why you can be a fake. That's why you can be a pretender, a hypocrite, or whatever word, an actor, whatever word you want to use. Because disobedience starts in the heart and then manifests itself outwardly. I believe that's where Jonah was. I'm convinced of that. You can think what you want, but the Lord come to him and he give him a say. He gave him a command, a demand, a command. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And I want you to notice he didn't say, and give them a good news message. He didn't come to Jonah and say, hey, I've got something real sweet for you to preach this morning, or this morning, or this when you get there to the Ninevites. Oh no. Here's what he said. You go to Nineveh and cry against it. Cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. I want to say to you, we live in a day today where preachers are expected to be positive. They're expected to preach a message to make everybody feel good. And we need to feel good sometimes. I'm not against that. I'm for feeling good. But the fact of the matter is, we're living in a sin-cursed world. We're living in a world with sin abounding on every hand. Sodomy's raging and been legalized, and abortion is murdering babies. It won't be long till pedophiles will be seeking laws to protect them. Mark it down what I'm telling you. It won't be long. Sin's never satisfied. Oh, be sure about that. Sin's never satisfied, but they don't want the man of God to say anything. And the Lord told Jonah, you go preach against sin and tell them judgment's coming. It wasn't too pleasant, wasn't pleasing like it was down in 2 Kings, was it chapter 12? Where he got to tell them, hey, you're going to have victory and your borders are going to be enlarged. But oh no, God had a difficult message. And if he was preaching today, you know what that'd do? They just march out the door and go down the road and find them somebody. Make them feel good down on the inside. Yeah, amen. That's why a lot of this stuff's flying away. they're flying away because it's not a man of God that'll stand for what's right. Oh my. Well, here's Jonah. He comes down and he tells him, I want you to cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. My. God's duty. And verse 3 says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. You see, many times when God tells us what we need to do, it goes against the flesh. Has the Lord ever said this to you? Raise your hand during the song. Just raise your hand. Has God ever said this to you? You ought to say amen. Has God ever said to you, you ought to testify? Has God ever said, hey, you ought to give that missionary $100? And your flesh says, don't do it. Don't do it. You ever felt like you ought to make a lap? And your flesh says, don't do it. You'll embarrass yourself. You'll humiliate yourself. You see, the commands of God go against the flesh. Whatever God has for your life, it'll go against the flesh. It's not something that your flesh will necessarily want to do. I don't know, but I suspect you campers this morning, you got up and you knew you ought to go to church and be in church. But if I'm just guessing. I'm not throwing off on you. I just know the flesh. I bet the flesh said, hey, y'all just take it easy today. I mean, what does it matter? What does it matter just missing one service? Hey, I'll tell you what it matters, because he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Hey, it does matter, because God's Word told us to be in the house of God. Oh my, amen, that's right. Oh, yeah, here's what I'm trying to say. We have a flesh to fight with. There's old Jonah, and hey, the will of God was not something he struggled to understand. I mean, it's not like he has to call a Greek scholar over and say, hey, now here's what's been said. Now tell me what really the Lord's wanting out of it. I mean, it wasn't like that at all. Here's Jonah, and God comes to him, and he just gives him simple instructions. He just gives him simple commands to do. I mean, I could bring a 7-year-old up and have him reading verse number 2 and he could tell me what Jonah was supposed to do. I mean, I could just do that. Here's what I'm trying to say. We try to make the Word of God complicated. I'll never forget. We had a fellow in the church and he wanted to be part of the music program and he had hair down on his shoulders and I had to talk to him about that. I turned him over there. I showed him that verse where it's a shame for a man to have long hair. You know what he said to me? He looked at me and said, now tell me, what does it really mean? What does it really mean? Here I was. I said, well, I said to him, called him by name. I said, all I know, it means what it says. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Isn't that where we're at today? We try to take the simple truths of the Word of God. We try to complicate it, make it, twist it, bend it, make it fit our lifestyle. The fact of the matter is, we all just line up with what thus saith the Word of God. Just the way it is. We all just line up by it. If the Bible says it, we all just do it and quit playing around and get serious with God. Oh my. Here he is. Very simple command. You don't have to be a college graduate or a rocket scientist or some kind of intelligent being to understand, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. But I want you to know too that when God calls us to do something, it's not always that glamorous. It's not always that glamorous. It was I've already said it, it's 500-600 mile walk had he walked. I guess with the boat and the fish, I'm sure that journey was shortcutted some for him. But the fact of the matter, had he went on a normal trip, been 500-600 miles, depending on the route that he took. And so there was a a good walk, if I could say it that way. Many days of walking before he'd ever get where he needed to get to carry out the work of the Lord. Can I tell you, that's how it is when you obey the Lord many times. I mean, you take a, let me give you an example of a missionary. Missionary gets called to the mission field. Brother Cooley's a good example. There's Brother Cooley got called to the mission field. Can he just go and start preaching and winning souls to Christ? Oh no, you see, he had to spend so much time trying to raise his support and get his money together. And my, just living one room, one motel room and another room, jerking his family all over the country. And sometimes the staying in a room probably wasn't fit to keep a dog in, and just trying to get by the best they can. Now he's over there and he's trying to learn the language, and they feel like a sore thumb because they don't fit in, they don't have the culture. You know what he's doing? He's preparing for the work of the Lord. Oh my, we don't have many people willing to prepare for the work of the Lord and for what he has for you. Yeah, I want to say to our church, that's what we ought to do with these young folks we've got. We need to start preparing them and helping them get where they can go on for Christ. There's a preparation. There's a time that it's not glory and it's not glamour and it's just preparation. It's just labor. Some might even say it would be boredom. Oh, friend, I'm simply saying to you, this thing of serving God, there's an old saying, first the cross and then the crown. And I want to say to you today, that's how it is. I mean, you don't just, it's not just glory all the time. Oh my, there's some plodding to be done. There's some plowing that has to go on. Yesterday, I spent all day studying yesterday. I walked outside about 1 or 2 o'clock. And that sun was so beautiful. That wind was blowing. I thought, my, it'd be so good. It'd just be so good to be able to just take off here or go there. But I couldn't do it because I had preparations to make. I had things that had to be done before I could preach to you. Today, I'm saying to you, old Jonah looked at this. He might have said, it's too much. And the Lord's wanting too much. I don't want to go that far. I don't want to be that far from my family and that far from home. But I'm telling you, we ought to be willing to pay the price to be obedient to the Lord. We ought to be willing to pay the price. Here he was. He decided to flee. You see, God's duty's not always glamorous. Not always glamorous. Sometimes it's a labor. Sometimes you just have to dig and go along. And every work of God, I don't care what it is, if it's done right, there's many long, lonely hours of preparation. And it's necessary if God's going to be glorified. Just necessary work of the Lord. Then again, I want you to notice too, this crying against Nineveh, don't you know that upset people? I mean, don't you know that's going to upset some of them big shots he's throwing off on our nation? He's belittling our people. Oh my. Can I say to you, maybe old Jonah come to the place he just didn't want to fight no more. He just didn't have the fight in him. I don't know. I want to say to you, if you stand for God, you're going to find yourself in some unpleasant circumstances. I mean, it's just how it is. You're going to find yourself in some unpleasant situations. You're going to have some people that's upset with you. And they're going to be unpleasant. They're going to be controversial. And here's old Jonah, and God's telling him. And God, he knows God. He knows God will be with him. He knows that. He's also fearful God will forgive him. He's afraid God is going to forgive him. But you've got all these things. God, it's a simple. It's understandable. He realizes what's involved. He knows what he has to do. He knows he's going to be crying against. He understands the difficulty. And it becomes decision time in his life. Decision time. Here's what I want to say to our church and to you visitors as well. We make decisions every day, either for or against the glory of God. When God gives you a command, you have a decision to make. That's right. You have a decision to make. You're reading the Bible, the Word of God, and you come across something that says, "Thou shalt not steal." Oh my! Don't have to. You have a decision to make. What am I going to do with that? Oh, we could just go on and on. Judge that you be not judged. Oh my, are we going to judge ourselves and say, "Hey, God, I'm wrong"? And if not, we're going to suffer the chastening hand of God on our life. Here's what I'm saying. You make decisions all the time. You may think they're little decisions. I don't know. It's just supposition. I wonder if Jonah hadn't made wrong decisions previously and the long-suffering of God had just been patient with him. I don't know that. I just wonder that. I just wonder if he thought, "Well, I'll just disobey and God will be upset with me for a little while. Then he'll forgive me for it and everything will be all right. I can do whatever I want, live however I want, and everything will work out all right." I want to say this, the long-suffering of God does not mean judgment and chastisement is not coming your way. Sure as I'm standing here to disobey God and fail to repent and judge yourself and fail to repent and get right with God or bring the chastening hand of God upon your life. Has God ever had to chasten you? Have you ever had something happen? The minute it happened, you knew God chastening hand was upon your life. Oh my, I can say amen to that. I had a car wreck one time. And the minute I wrecked that car, the Holy Spirit said, "I'm chastening you. I'm chastening you." Oh my, I'm simply saying to you today, where we have decisions to make, and with those decisions, there comes a cost. I want to say this, it'll cost you to obey the Lord. I've said this a lot lately. I don't know if somebody's struggling or not, but it costs a lot for you to obey the Lord. I want you to realize it's going to cost you a whole lot more to disobey Him. It's going to cost you a whole lot more to disobey. Here's old Jonah, and he already knew what he's going to do. He's going to flee from the presence of the Lord. And you might say this, "Well, how foolish. How foolish. I have said that before. How foolish for a man to flee from the presence of the Lord." But you know what Genesis 4:16 says? That Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You think about that for a minute. You see what that verse in Genesis 4:16 really meant was, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, or the place where the Lord was talking to him. The place where he could meet with the Lord. The place where he could talk to the Lord at. He went out from the presence of the Lord. That's what he's trying to get across there. Jeremiah says the same thing. I believe in regards to that, maybe it's the children of Israel. I'd have to look it up and see. But what's meant there, and what very well, surely Jonah knew he couldn't get away from the presence of the Lord. Why, the old psalmist said, "If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. And if I took the wings of the dove, and I've forgotten how it reads, flew to the heavens, thou would be there." Here's what I'm trying to say to you. We know God's omnipresent. He's with us right now. You may feel like this is the deadest, driest service you've ever been in. But I'm telling you, God's with us right now. You can't get away from Him, but you can get away from a place where He can speak to you. You know what I think? I think people are fleeing from the Lord when they quit reading their Bible. You know why? That's God speaking to them there. They quit. They're trying to flee from the presence of the Lord there. You quit praying. You don't want to hear from God in the prayer closet. It's fearful what God might have you to do. Have you ever just thought about totally surrendering your life to the Lord? What would He ask out of you? Would He want you to be a missionary? Would He want you to be a preacher? You say, "I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do it." Hey, God, that's the kind God God uses those that can. Oh, those that do not have ability. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 teaches us that. Oh, have you ever thought about it, young people? Just saying, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. Scares you, doesn't it? Frightens you. And you know what? If you're not careful, you'll try to stay away from His presence. Have you ever had a service? We had one here. Barry Raines was preaching. I became afraid, Alan. I was laying right there on that floor. I was so fearful. The presence of the Lord was so real. It scared me. It wasn't this shouting and running and jumping like we do it around here, Lord. It's just so... I can't explain. If you've never been there, I don't guess I can explain it. That's such a holy awe on me. All I can do is just lay there and not move. Just lay there. Oh, I'm telling you, here's what I'm trying to say. The presence of the Lord can be frightening. It can be frightening to get into the presence of the Lord. You don't know what He's going to say. You don't know what He's going to ask of you. You don't know what He wants for your life. Here's old Jonah. He's fleeing from His presence of the Lord. And surely He's not talking about the omnipotence. And I've preached it that way before. The more I think about it, I just don't see how man of God like Jonah could ever think he could get away from God. I think he's trying to get away from where God's talking to him. He's trying to get away from what we might say your Bible reading. He's trying to get away from a God-honoring church where the man of God gets up and preaches and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and deals with you. Oh my, there's a lot of ways you can flee from the Lord in a sense. Understand what I'm saying when I say that. Here He is. He wants to get away from where God's talking to him and giving him instructions and giving him commands and giving him direction. Oh my, the Bible says that He rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Oh my, here He is. And notice what happens. Everything works out. Isn't that amazing how everything works out? And he's backslid on God. He's wanting to go to Tarshish. Guess what he finds? Brother Alan, he finds a boat going to Tarshish. I mean, that proves it's the will of God, doesn't it? He's fleeing from God. Going to Tarshish? There's a boat going to Tarshish. Well, that proves I'm doing the right thing. And they had a fire, and he had enough money to pay the fire. It was reasonable enough the man of God could pay the fire and get on the boat. I mean, surely it's the will of God. Everything's working out like it's supposed to. Isn't that right? No, that's not right. You know it's not right. Can you take favorable circumstances and justify that or use that as justification for being in the will of God? No, 1,000 times no. The devil will do all he can to make it easy on you to run from God. He'll do that. What he did, that's what he did for Jonah here. He made it easy for him. There's a boat. There's an affordable fire. And so Jonah got on. I don't think about circumstances. I don't think about Paul heading toward Rome. And they said when the south wind blew softly, supposing they'd obtained their purpose, I believe, obtained their purpose, they set sail. In other words, that soft wind was blowing. That's just what they needed to make the journey. But it wasn't too far down the road that the storm came in Paul's life. And it's not too far down the road the storm comes in Jonah's life. Here's what I'm saying. You don't turn your back on God without approaching peril. And really what that storm spoke of, it spoke of the judgment and the wrath of God on Jonah's disobedience. That's what it is. I want to say to you, you're disobeying God. You better repent and get right. If you're in disobedience, you better repent because there's a storm just down the road brewing for you. You may turn your back on God, but He's not turned His back on you. You may try to leave Him, but He'll stay with you. That's right. Here's old Jonah. Here's old Jonah. He's starting out on his journey here. My, it looks good. He's got the ship. He's paid the fire. He's got him a room, a cabin, or whatever they had back then. He goes down there. My, he just feels so good. He can just go to sleep. I mean, he can just go to sleep. Oh, God. We talked about that last time, old sleeper. And so here he is asleep. But can I tell you, some time passed. Everything's going good. But all of a sudden, the storm clouds begin to gather. Miley sailed on a little bit, and the winds began to pick up, and the storms began to come. And my Jonah's woke up, and he finds himself in the storm. That's a picture of the wrath of God on disobedience. And I'm telling you, you won't disobey God and get by with it. You better be sure of that. And I know we live in a time that nobody fears God anymore, Brother Allen. Not even God's people. But there's a time when we used to fear God. I mean, we was fearful what God would do if we didn't obey. If we didn't do what He said to do. But that's about gone now. I'm telling you, the judgment of God's still real today. Old Jonah, he wakes up in the storm. I want you to notice what he did. And I don't know, y'all can be hard on Jonah if you want to, but a lot of you, God's told you things to do and you've run the other way. Just be honest about it. God said, hey, I want you to do this. And you said, no, I'm not doing it. And you didn't do it. And God, no doubt chastened you, but you just took it and went on in your life. Hey, you know I'm telling you right today. I'll never forget us down here in Maryville. And there's an old postal worker out there. He wasn't a mailman, but he's a janitor guy. He's sweeping up the parking lot, Brother Bud. And the Lord told me to go over and talk to him in the track. You know what I did? You know what this big, holy, godly, righteous preacher did? I said, no. No, I'm not going to do that. He's working. It's not right for me to bother him while you know how we do. We start making excuses, Brother Allen, why it's right to disobey the Lord. Well, to make a long story short, I pulled out of the parking lot, drove up. Those of you that know the area, drove up there to the drugstore and turned around just about half a block up there. Turned around. I said, well, I'm going to talk to him. I don't care. And I drove back down there, and guess what? He was gone. Disobeyed the Lord. A preacher, man of God. Some of you say, well, I got too much confidence in you to do something like that. I did it. You know what I bet? I bet some of y'all have too.
Yes, sir.
God just wants us to obey. Just obey. Well, he wakes up in the storm, but here's what he did. The lot fell on Jonah in chapter 7, verse 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Which comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? Notice what he said. He said, I am an Hebrew. Here's what I say Jonah's doing now. He's repenting. He's confessing up. You say, preacher, how do you get that? Well, just read it with me. He said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He said, I fear the Lord. That seems odd to me, him saying that, Brother Bud, when he's running from the Lord. I mean, it just don't seem right to me. You say that's a reverential fear, whatever you want to say, but he said, I fear the Lord. I believe he did fear Him. I believe he knew the minute he woke up, he knew what that storm was about. Here's what he said. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, said unto him, Why hast thou done this? You know what else? It says, For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. You know what I think he said? I think he said, Hey, this storm's because of me, because I'm trying to run from God. Well, that was the truth, wasn't it? He just told the truth. He just confessed up. Notice what else he says. He's just being honest now. The storm, I'll tell you what we need. We need a few storms to bring us close to God. Hey, did you know them old sailors didn't care anything about the man of God or the true and living God till the storm came in their life? We could really preach that's the storm of conviction if you want to have it that way. But something had to get tore up in their life. We've got such easy, peaceful, happy lives. Fact of the matter is, we don't need God. Many people have that idea. I just don't need God. I've got my 401k. I've got my fine home, my two cars, and my boat, and my swimming pool, and whatever else people have that want things. And I really don't need God. I really don't need the church. Hey, it's almost like the Laodicean church, is it not? I'm rich, increased with goods. Have need of nothing. I don't need anything. Really, I can just make it without God or without anybody. I want to tell you, when you get out there on the sea of life and the storms get to raging and things look hopeless, you'll turn to God then. Old Jonah just confessed up. He just confessed up. He said, I'm guilty. If you'll just let me paraphrase, he said, I'm guilty. And then they were afraid. The men were afraid and said, Why have you done this? Here's what Jonah said to them in verse 13 or verse 12. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. I believe he's just as calm. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. I've never believed this till just recently. I believe Jonah died. Whale's belly. I believe he died. You can think whatever you want, but that's what I'm as convinced of that as I'm standing here. But Jonah died and God resurrected him. I just believe that. And so here's old Jonah, and I believe he knew he was going to die. He said, Fellas, if you'll just throw me in the water there, the storm will cease, because I'm the one causing the problems. I know an old man one time, the church was after him over a particular issue. He stood up and said, If I'm the Jonah in this church, just throw me overboard. He's an old timer, what he's saying, just vote me out. But that's what Jonah's saying. He said, If you'll just get rid of me, you'll just get rid of me. You have some peace in your life. He knew it was going to kill him. You say, why didn't he jump? I'm going to tell you why. I've wondered that so many times. Why did he put them sailors on a guilt trip? Why didn't he just jump in the water? It would have broke the tide. You see, the ones that killed him is the ones that benefited from his death. You know what that's a picture of, don't you? You know who killed Jesus? You and me. You and me. And we killed him, but then he benefits us from killing him. What a Savior we have. What a great God we have. We will not, we reject his Son and we kill him on a cross and he takes his death and saves us. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We have. What a God. Well, here's Jonah, and he says, Throw me overboard. They had to keep the type right. You see, the storm pictures the judgment of God on sin. And did you know Jonah was through one man's sin, they were all under judgment. Jonah's a picture of that. Adam's sin cast all mankind into sin. Hey, I want to say this to you today. If you've never been saved, you're under the penalty of sin. You know what the penalty of sin is? Death. You know what spiritual death is? the lake of fire forever and ever. Separation from God forever and ever. Here's old Jonah through his sin. They were all under the judgment of God. The storm, the mariners, they were under the judgment of God. Through Jonah coming where they was, they understood about the true and the living God. Through Jesus coming where we are, we understand about the true and the living God. And my, we see the truth of God being satisfied. Think about this. There was only one person that could be thrown overboard that could stop the storm. Only one person, Brother Bud. They could have thrown the mariner over. Can I tell you, the storm would have kept raging. But there's one, when he gave his life, it satisfied God and it brought peace. Who are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about Jonah in the story, but it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that could have given his life and satisfied the demands of a holy God. And He was willing to do that for you and I. My, that's what we see in this story. You say, why? Why is the story of Jonah here to show us the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? That's what He said in Matthew's Gospel, wasn't it? Adulterous and a wicked generation seeketh after a sign. There'll be no sign given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. As he is 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus compared Himself to Jonas. That's why we have this book. It's preaching the gospel, don't you see? They threw old Jonah overboard, and the sea just became calm. You know what they did after that? They sacrificed and made vows to God. I believe them old sailors got in. They're called mariners. I believe they got in, Brother Bud. You know why? They was changed after that. They were changed. They were sacrificing to the truth. Hey, we don't work to be saved, but after we are saved, we'll want to do something for God. You know that's so. No, Jonah's gone, but they're sacrificing to God. My, you know the story. I'm not going to read any more. I'm basically through this morning. Can I say this to you? Old Jonah, he's in that waters for 3 days, 3 nights. But can I tell you, after a while, I believe it's a whale. Everything I read says it's a fish. Everything I read, they explain everything away. I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. Yes, Matthew 12 says a whale. Jesus says a whale. I believe it's a whale. Exactly right. Oh, whale, come up there and spit him out on dry ground. He's alive, Brother Bud. He's alive. Because he's alive, he has a good news message to go and tell those Ninevites. He says, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Oh, he's warning them about that. They repented and escaped the wrath of God because Jonah lived to bring God's word to them. Oh my, Jonah, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I was to say this to you today, because Jonah lived, he had a job to do. Had a job to do. Because Jesus lives, you have a job to do. There's a world out there under the judgment of God. And the judgment of God, some of them don't even know. And God's so long-suffering. He's so long-suffering with Nineveh. But there came a time, He said, you got 40 days. You got 40 days, and I'm going to destroy you. But they repented, and God had mercy on them. I wonder today, do you need to repent? Maybe you're lost, and you need to be saved. Maybe you're saved, and you've been worldly. You've been more concerned. I see so many of God's people. They have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. They don't fit in the world and they don't fit in the church and they're miserable. They're just miserable. My, I just wonder. then you need to repent. You say, what turned it around for Jonah? I understand he still had the flesh. He still had future battles. But I'm going to tell you what turned it around. He said, this storm's happening because of my disobedience, and I fear God. I say that's repentance. I believe I could just sit there and analyze that little text and give you all kinds of truths regarding repentance. I wonder, do you need to repent? Is there somebody here that's lost and the storm of Holy Ghost conviction settled in on your life? And you would say this, preacher, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I'm lost. I'm not right. I need to be saved. I'm wayward. I've been disobedient. I'm not what I ought to be. God, I'm not following God. Nobody knows it. But I'm not following God down on the inside like I ought to. Is there anybody who'd like to be honest with the Lord? Do what old Jonah did. Just confess up. Brother Allen, Sister King's going to come to the piano. If you'd bow your head for just a minute, just you and God. I don't know. I've just tried to preach to you what God gave me. I don't know what needs doing, but if God spoke to your heart, I have to believe God's people will be honest. I just have to believe that. I don't believe we're a bunch of fakes around here. I don't believe we're a bunch of hypocrites playing a part, acting a role. I believe we're real people who're serious about serving God. If He spoke to you today, would you just be obedient to Him? Just obey Him. While Brother Allen, Sister King sing or play, whatever they've got for us, you and the Lord, all heads bowed, just a verse or two of a song.